Well, I want to start out today by playing a little word association game with you today. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to shout out a name, somebody you probably know, and I want you to shout back to me what they are known for. Really simple. You should be able to get it at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think we can all do this, all right? I'm going to shout out a name. You shout back what that person is known for. So let me start with a really simple, easy one, all right? Right off the bat. Justin Bieber, all right? Music, hair. All right, good, good, good. I think someone said rock and roll. You haven't listened to Justin Bieber. You said rock and roll. All right. Let me give you another one here real quick. Frank Lloyd Wright. Or did someone say a guy who flew a plane? Did I hear that? You know, he's an architect. The guy built some incredible buildings. Okay. Here's another one. Mother Teresa. Saint love, mercy, compassion. Good, 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 good. Okay. Here's an easy one for many of you in the room. Tim Tebow. Football, all right, let's go Gators. Boo Tennessee. All right. Sorry, Tennessee fans. I actually got a win, so I can be happy this morning. All right, here's another easy one. Oprah. TV, money, queen of the world. All right, good. All right, here's one. John Grisham. Author, all right, nothing like a vacation with one of those books. Kills the time. Okay, here's another one. Bernie Madoff. Ponzi, crook, money. All right, good. Okay, one last one here. You ready? Kim Kardashian. You know, it's a mystery to me too, all right? I don't know. But here's the truth of the matter. We are all known for something, aren't we? When people say your name, you are known for something. When people say my name, I am known for something. What is it that we are going to be known for? I ran across an obituary this week in the New York Times, and it simply reads this, just two simple lines. It says this, Victor Dorman, who helped change the way Americans buy cheese by putting the paper between the slices as chairman of the Dorman Cheese Company, died on March 4th at his home in Delray Beach, Florida. He was 80 years old. Just a simple two-line obituary. I read a little bit more about Victor Dorman. I come to find out that he was a naval officer. That he was a great philanthropist, that he lived a really exciting life. But the end of the 80 years of life that he lived on this earth, his legacy, what he left behind, what people knew him by, the dash, the time between the time he was born and the time he died, it was all summed up in one phrase, the guy who put the paper between the cheese. And that's what he was known for. I went to a funeral of a friend whose dad passed away not too long ago, and his dad was one of these really successful guys. I mean, the type of guy who just kind of hit grand slam after grand slam in business all the time. I mean, this guy just was a great business person. And person after person after person got up at this funeral and talked about this guy and three things. So this guy was about money, he was about power, and he was about golf. I remember walking away from that going, man, my friend doesn't have a lot to hang his hat on to remember his dad by. I mean, my heart was heavy for him. I mean, what are we going to be known for? You know, from the time that we're really little, don't we have these irrational dreams of greatness? I mean, don't you remember growing up and saying things like, you know what, one day I'm going to grow up because I dream of being the president of the United States of America. I mean, I dream of being a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. I mean, I dream of selling out Madison Square Garden and giving the best rock concert ever. I mean, I dream of being an actor and winning an Oscar. I dream of going to the Olympics and winning a gold medal. I mean, you never hear kids say, you know, I dream of growing up one day to be the vice president of the United States of America. I mean, I dream of winning a bronze medal at the Olympics. I mean, we are all pulled innately. We are drawn towards greatness and meaning and purpose in life. And today, you know, church, stretching out in front of you and stretching out in front of me are many days. Many days. And many of those days right now in your life are unwritten. But with our days, you are going to write a legacy. I am going to write a legacy with my life. And here's the question I think we need to ask. And I'm not trying to be morbid with this series, I promise you. I'm not trying to freak you out. Here's what I'm just trying to do. I'm trying to get a little clarity in your life. I'm just trying to help you think clearly, because here's the question I think we all need to ask, the question that we need to ponder. The question we're asking in this series is simply this. If I knew I only had 30 days left on this planet, what would I want to be known for? What would I want to be known for? I mean, how would I want to be remembered? What would my legacy be? What would my dash be? And here in a couple minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to take out that card in your bulletin and we're going to write down on there what the legacy statement is, what I want my life to mean, what I want people to remember me by. But before we do that, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about what is legacy worthy. What is legacy worthy? This week, I typed that word, legacy, into Google, and a bunch of stuff came up. And one thing really struck out to me. It was an article out of the Chicago Tribune, and I've got it right here. I know you can't see it, but it's right here. And the title is what jumped out and got me. Here's what the title of the story is. Architect's Legacy Going Up in Smoke. Architect's Legacy Going Up in Smoke. And it's an article about this famous architect from a century ago by the name of Louis Sullivan. And at one time in Chicago, he had over 130 buildings that lined the cityscape of Chicago. But last year, it was down to 23, and over the last couple months, three more buildings have burnt to the ground, all because of fire. These buildings have been ruined, so hence the title of the article, Architect's Legacy Going Up in Smoke. But you know what really caught my attention with this? It was the haunting words, legacy going up in smoke. Legacy going up in smoke. Because it made me think about, what am I giving my life to? What am I giving my time to? What am I giving my energy to? What am I giving my resources to that one day is just going to go up in smoke? What am I doing with my life to leave a legacy? And you see, I think here's the real question that we have, the heart of the question that we have to ask today. What is the supreme legacy? What is the supreme legacy? What is that thing that's going to be here long after we are gone? What's that legacy that we're going to leave behind that's going to change and impact the lives of people behind us? What is the supreme legacy? You ever asked yourself that question? What is the greatest legacy I can leave? Well, the Bible actually answers the question. It gives us the answer to that. The Bible actually says you can kind of summarize the supreme legacy down to a couple primary things. And isn't that how life usually is? It's about primary things. You look around the world, you see some of the greatest architectural designs in the world, some of the greatest buildings. And every building in the world, including this one, comes down to three things. Line, angle, curve. Primary things. You go to any paint store, you can ask Sherwin-Williams. You can go to Lowe's and you can see, look at a million different color samples, and they're all going to come back to three primary colors. Red, yellow, blue. Primary things. Line, angle, curve, red, yellow, blue. And the Bible says if you want to leave a supreme legacy with your life, something that's going to live long after you are gone, then it comes down to three primary things. And so let's look at that together. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. If you want to open your Bibles there, we're going to be in 13 most of the day today. And here's what it says. And now these three. And notice this next word, remain. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Primary things, line, angle, curve, red, yellow, blue, faith, hope, and love. Well, first there's faith. Can you say faith with me on three? One, two, three. Okay, let's try it again this morning, all right? One, two, three. That's a little better. You're awake. See, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, our connection with God is dependent upon faith. We have this faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Our salvation depends on it. So faith is big. It's huge. But then it says we have this next thing. It's called hope. Say hope with me. One, two, three.
Hope.
All right, this side. All right, come on. We got to wake up over here, all right? All right, you guys on three. One, two, three. All right, good. We have hope. You see, in life, when those storms come, when life gets tough, when we just feel like we're being pressed down, that we're just under some thumb of oppression, we've got to have hope. Hope's the only thing that gets us through. And the Bible says this, says through Jesus, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So hope is huge. Hope is big. But then there's this third one. Love. Say love with me. One, two, three.
Love.
All right. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Primary things, faith, hope, and love. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. Love is to be your greatest aim. It's to be the loftiest pursuit in your life. You see, love is supposed to be the supreme legacy that you leave behind. Now, I don't know if you've heard that verse. Maybe right now is the first time you've heard it, or if you heard it before. And maybe you're thinking what a lot of people think. Why in the world of all three of those, faith, hope, and love, why is love the one that's never, it's the greatest one? Well, let me tell you why. You see, of the three that remain, faith, hope, and love, the things that you leave a legacy in your life with, love is the only one you are going to take with you to the other side. I mean, think about it. As a Christ follower, it takes faith here on earth to believe in Jesus. But when you're in heaven, you get to look at him eyeball to eyeball. It's not going to take faith anymore. And think about heaven. What the Bible says in heaven, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there are no tears in heaven. So we are not going to need hope. But heaven is full of love because that's where God is. And we know that, but it's demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Primary things. When you think of Tim Tebow, you think of football. When you think of Oprah Winfrey, you think of TV. But here's the question for us. When people think of us, when people say your name, when people say my name, are our names, are they synonymous with love? Are they synonymous with love? A couple years ago, we took our boys to Disneyland for our first big Disney trip. They were about 5 and 6 years old. We planned up for about 6-8 months for this trip, and we were super excited to go to this place. And let me tell you, it's the most, it's the happiest place on the planet. It was a fun time, and we went for about a week, and it was just crazy. And by the end, I'll never forget. I was wore out. I remember the last day, I was just sick and tired of Disney crowds, sick and tired of Disney lines, sick and tired of Disney prices on everything. It felt like everybody on the planet decided this was the week they were going to go to Disney. It happened to be the week I was there. I was toast. I was absolutely done. Have you ever had an out-of-body experience? I felt like I was having an out-of-money experience, all right? It was just, I was done. I was toast last day. I remember we got off the tram and went to that little place where the bus picks you up and takes you back to your hotel. And right as we were walking up, the bus pulled away, and so we had to wait. I remember sitting down, and I was just wore out, and the boys were running around with their Swiss Family Robinson guns and, hanging out, and there was nobody there. But as we waited a little bit longer for our bus to come, the crowd began to build. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And before I know it, I'm looking around. I'm going, you know what? There's not enough room on the bus for all these people that are here. And so I started thinking, how am I going to be the first person on the bus? That's what I wanted to do. And so I'm starting thinking, I just grabbed the boys, said, all right, boys, let's come over here. You guys can get the left flank. You take your guns, you can block everybody out. And mom and I will run this way and we'll jump on. And sure enough, here comes the bus. Hear that hum of the diesel come around. It swung around and we were first on the bus. I got on that first seat and sat down. I'm like, oh, yes. We're ready to go home. We're ready to be done. I am toast. I just want to get out of here. And so I'm watching the crowd begin to load onto this bus. And it just, huge crowd. Seat after seat all the way to the back was being filled. And then once we filled all the seats, people started standing in the aisles. And we're cramming people in. And kids are crying and screaming. I look out and there's this one last family to get on. And it's a mom, a dad, two girls, and a stroller. And so they start getting on the bus. And they get up there right next to me. And the girls get cotton candy over their face and wearing their ears. I'm like, oh, I'm done. And the dad comes on last, and in his arms, he's carrying about a 10-month-old baby. And so he stops, because the only place left is right next to me, right next to that front seat. And, I kind of look at him, and he looks at me, and I look at him. And I'll be honest with you, what I'm thinking, I'm glad I get on the bus first. That's what I'm thinking. It stinks being him right now, Because I'm just sitting there floating around in the universe of Jason. I don't care. I'm just glad I was on the bus first. And then the guy across the aisle, he ruined my day. Because he goes to this guy, he says, sir, would you like to have my seat? And the guy's like, oh, no, I couldn't have your seat. And he said, no. And then he gets really sappy. I'm thinking, He goes, you were carrying precious cargo. It wouldn't be right for you to stand up. And I'm thinking, I'm feeling about this big at that moment. And I'm feeling like, I am so self-absorbed. Because here's the truth, church. Sometimes I don't love very well. Sometimes I don't love very well. Listen to what Paul said about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's simply saying here is if I have speaking gifts that can mesmerize thousands of people, if I learn 20 different languages, if I become known as this great communicator, but I don't have love, then I just sound like a four-year-old playing the drums. That's what it's like if I don't have love. And he goes on in verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I'm so smart, if I graduated magna cum laude, if I'm a member of Mensa, if I have more degrees past my name, they call me Dr. Thermometer. I mean, if I can split theological hairs 20 different ways, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Goes on to say, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. He's saying, if I don't love all that I say I believe, all the convictions I hold, they're useless. He continues, if I give all I possess to the poor, if I give all my money away, if I give extravagant amounts of money to worthy causes, to needs around our world that's hurting, but I do it out of prestige or power or guilt or pressure, then it's useless. He goes on and says, and if I surrender my body to the flames, he's saying, if I'm a martyr, if I give up my life for Christ, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Nothing. So no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I believe, if I don't have love, I'm bankrupt. And so God just kind of summarized it. He says, I mean, I can have the eloquence of an orator. I can have the knowledge of a genius. I can have the faith of a miracle worker. I can have the generosity of a great philanthropist. I can have the dedication of the martyr. But if I don't leave a legacy of love with my life, then my life is just a big, fat zero. A big, fat zero. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Primary things. There's a verse I want you to read this morning. It's on the screens. You can read it with me off the screens. It's one that we should all memorize. It'll come up here and read it with me. It says this. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. Love has to be expressed. It has to be shown. Now, many of you know, last week I didn't make it here, some flight issues, but I was up in Indiana at my brother's wedding. Quite a fun weekend, get to see a lot of family. And there was a moment where all the ladies were off getting their nails done, their toes done, their makeup and hair done, and I wasn't about to go do that. So I grabbed the keys from Mom and decided to drive around town, and I don't know what it was, but my car just kind of drove out to my grandma and grandpa's house. I mean, I hadn't been there for 13 years, hadn't been back really in Evansville since my grandfather passed away. And so I drove back to the house because that house for me just carried so many incredible memories, special memories. And I got out, and the person living there now wasn't home, and I parked in the street next to it and kind of got up and walked into the backyard. My grandpa spent a ton of time. He had about an acre in the backyard of this huge garden. And I can just picture it like it was yesterday. I could see the rows of sweet corn. I could see the strawberries and the grapes. I could see it all out there. And I can just hear my grandpa out there whistling, having a good time, enjoying his time in the garden. It brought back a lot of great memories. And I walked up to the house, and I looked in the picture window, looked in the TV room, and the same wood paneling still on the walls, and I was looking for the owls that would still maybe be there, but they were gone, and it just made me remember that room, remember the big TV and the couch, and it reminded me of sitting there on that couch with my grandpa, watching Johnny Carson, or watching a John Wayne movie, or Barney Miller, and just kind of hanging out, and I could just picture his smile. I could see his complexion. I could feel just his arm around me just expressing love. And this wave of emotion came over me. And I walked back around the side of the house, and there's this little window they put in for my grandpa's stamp room. And I just remembered the hours I spent in that room with my grandpa. I remember down there, sitting there, watching him work and hearing him sing, and he couldn't sing very well. I remember every story just about he would tell me about all these stamps. I mean, I promise you, he was the character study for Cliff Clavin off of Cheers, all right? I mean, every stamp had a story, a history lesson with it. He knew so much, and I remember sitting there and hearing all those stories time and time again. But what I really remembered about that room was sitting there and listening to him teach me about life. I remember the lessons he taught me. I still remember being a man about to be married and sitting there talking to my grandpa and him giving me advice about marriage and life. And it was special. And I just had a flood of emotions coming back in. And I remember as I was pulling away from there from 4201 Oak Hill Drive in Evansville, Indiana, I thanked God for the legacy of faith, hope, and love that was marked in my life there at that house. And I prayed to God for the kids in my house, sitting at my table, sitting at my couch, hearing my stories, that that same legacy would be marked on their life. I'm not trying to weird you out this week. I'm not trying to freak you out with this whole, what would you do if you only had 30 days to live thing. I just want you to get a little clarity in life. It's a question we all need to ask. What would we leave? What is the legacy that we leave behind? I mean, it's a question we need to think of. It's not an idle question. I mean, we don't know if our day is up. Listen to what the Bible says in James. It says this, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You see, death comes to us all. I mean, sometimes it comes to a baby, an infant that's not even started to live their life. Sometimes it comes to a teenager who's just beginning life. Sometimes it comes to someone who's in the prime of their life. Sometimes it comes to someone who is 100 years old. But death comes. I heard just about a month ago, the oldest person on the planet died. 115 years old, a lady from Brazil. 115. Can you imagine living to 115? I mean, I started thinking, you know, what would be the benefits of living to 115? Because I don't know if I'd want to live that long. You know, I guess at that point, there's really no peer pressure, right? I guess so. I want to tell you the story of Heather and Eric Jacobs. They were a family who lived in this small town city of Ankeny, Iowa. Eric was 31 years old. They had four kids, four boys, all under the age of seven, with one more child on the way. And at 31 years old, he was on a small plane heading on a business trip when his plane crashed in a cornfield in Indiana. It was a cold November day, and that 31-year-old lost his life, and his four kids, all under the age of seven, one on the way, lost their father. But I want you to hear this story, because this father left a message for his kids. And so I want you to watch this video and hear the story as you meet Eric and Heather Jacobs. Watch this video.
You know, I think it's taken us a long time to get used to not having Eric here. We've gotten into kind of a groove as far as how to function without having another adult along. A lot of the tasks that are the toughest are obviously getting the kids to all their practices and getting supper cooked and squeezed in there somewhere. But the kids are all, they've all adjusted. They're all really good at helping out, pitching in. I've always kind of told them that we're a team, and so we have to work together to make our house function the way it should, because we don't have that extra help. I also have an amazing support group of friends who are willing to help me any way they can as far as getting kids to practices and things like that. He was such a silly guy. I think that's the thing my kids for sure remember the most about Dad, is just how crazy silly he was. Loved to do crazy, silly stuff with the family, and always, you know, behind God, always put family first. That was what was most important in his life. As far as missing Eric, it's kind of, my kids have gotten really used to knowing that they have two parents, but one parent is in heaven and one parent's here on earth. And it's, to them, it's almost matter of fact. It's the way it is, and they understand that tragedy and things happen. And they would obviously much prefer that their dad was here to be with them. So when I think of something, I say, "Oh my goodness, that reminds me of your dad. When your dad used to do this," or stories of things that he did. So we just kind of keep him alive all the time. I think they felt so much love just from people that have helped us out over the years, and hopefully from me and from all the family, that they're just okay with realizing that, you know, Eric loves them, but he's loving them from heaven because he can't love them from down here.
Hello, everybody. If you're watching this, something bad's probably happened to me. I had this dream last night that, or this morning, and only a few minutes ago, that I died early, and I don't know what to take of it. So I had all these instructions going through my mind on what I would say, like on my last day of dying. And I don't know if this is God's way of saying record this, and it was divinely inspired, or if I'm just paranoid or what. So I wanted to record my thoughts while I had them.
I could then remember this vague memory of in the middle of the night, Eric getting back in bed, and I just kind of rolled over, and he gave me a hug, and so it kind of woke me up. And I said, "Where have you been?" Because I realized he was gone. And he said, "Oh, I was making a video." He's like, "I had this terrible dream that I died." It didn't enter my mind at all when he died to go and, "Oh, I should go look for that video he made." I totally forgot about it. So it was a complete surprise when I pulled that out and we sat down right away to watch it.
My family means so much to me. You guys are a close second to God, but you mean a whole lot to me. And I want y'all to know that I'm in a really good place right now.
The gist of the video was to give a lot of instruction for what he would like to happen with both myself and the kids if something happened to him. It had, of course, a lot of Christian instruction as well in there.
Okay, Heather, this is tough, but I need to tell you that I don't expect you and I don't want you to be single. Raising these boys is way too tough. After recording this, I don't know if the fifth kid's a boy or girl, but whatever it is, which is probably a boy, they need a father. You need to remarry.
Probably what sticks with me the most is how many times he mentions that I should find somebody and remarry. I think it was like 7 or 8 times. You know, and that was so hard to hear that, because this is, you know, coming from the person, you know, that was the love of my life and was taken from me, and to hear him say he wants me to move on and for me to think about moving on was just very hard.
And I'm not crying out of jealousy, I'm crying because I'm thinking about being gone from you. I love you so much.
You know, as far as I know, he kissed him goodnight one night to bed, got up early before they got up, left for work, and never came home. And so that's very hard for, you know, anyone to deal with. And so I think this video has given us closure and it has given us some peace.
Mysterious, isn't it? Someone has a dream that their days are numbered. A few days later, they die. I tell you what, I've watched all 40 minutes of this video. It's better than any sermon I've ever delivered. It's powerful. And in this message to his friends and his family, I mean, he just talks about the greatest things in life. It's not money, it's not power, it's not prestige. He says it's all about Jesus. And he's got such hope. Hope for tomorrow, hope for where he's going to be. He knew for sure where he is going to end up if that dream came true. And he goes on and on in this video and challenges his friends, challenge anyone who ever watches this video to make a decision with their life, to give their life to Christ, to put their trust in the hope of Jesus Christ. And it's so touching. He goes in this video, he talks to his friends, he talks to his family, he thanks his mom and dad for the incredible lessons in life they gave him. He thanks his brothers and sisters for just the relationship they had. He talks to his coworkers and he thanks them. He talks to his family. He talks to his kids and he tells his kids, "Don't be mad at God. Don't be mad at God. I mean, I know these kids, these four boys and their little sister now, who's about 2.5, 3 years old, Ella. I know they're probably still going to have tough days ahead. But what I know for sure is that this dad was about primary things: faith, hope, and love. And he left a legacy of love in those kids. And that's why it's so important today that we do what we're about to do here in just a couple moments. And then we're going to take some time here. If you would, go ahead and get your legacy cards out of your bulletin right now. It is so important that we do this here today, right now, because of this. I know myself and I know you. We are great at procrastinating, aren't we? We're great at procrastinating. I believe one of the most dangerous words in our English language is someday. Someday I'll get around to spending time with my kids and build a legacy in them. Someday I'll build a legacy of love in my marriage with my wife or my husband. I mean, someday I'll figure out this whole faith thing. Someday I'll understand how God has made me, wired me, the gifts he's given me so that I can use those to make a difference in the world. Someday I'm going to start caring about my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my classmates. Someday I'm going to accept the amazing grace of God and accept Jesus into my life. I mean, for those of you that have lost someone unexpectedly, you know sometimes someday doesn't come. I mean, when Eric received this message, I mean, what if he would just rolled over and said, I'll get to it someday? But he didn't. He jumped up and did it. So let me give you three words that can change your life. You ready? Here they are. Start right now. Start right now. I mean, if you've not figured out the whole faith thing with God, why not start right now? Why not open your Bible and see what the Bible has to say? Why not go and look for answers to your questions, to your concerns, to the things that you're skeptical about? I mean, why not sit down with someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ and say, what has God done for you? Tell me about it. Why not start right now and figure out the whole faith thing? And maybe you've done that part, but you've never accepted the living hope that Jesus Christ guarantees you. Why not now? Start right now. Accept that hope, the living hope that we have, the hope of the cross, the hope of the resurrection. I mean, let me ask you, do you have hope that if you were to die tomorrow, you know where you would be? Have you got that figured out? Do you know? Do you know where that is? I mean, would your family have confidence like Eric's family had confidence of where he's going to be? Wouldn't they? When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, your capacity to love just grows. And your capacity to extend that love to other people just extends. It is incredible. It is about primary things: faith, hope, and love. Primary things. Leaving a legacy of love. Is your name synonymous with love? Is it? Eric's is. And I know yours can be too. So here's what I want to do to finish up. I'm going to play about the last minute and 15 seconds of Eric's video. And I'm just going to tell you, it's emotionally charged. And I really debated on whether or not to show it to you, but you know what? As I prayed, I said, you know what? It's too important not to. I had a preacher of mine said, you know, sometimes you need your bell rung. Sometimes we learn with a gentle hand on the back. Sometimes we learn with someone grabbing our ears and shaking us. Sometimes we learn with a pillow to the face. Sometimes we learn with a 2x4 to the head. I think today is one of those days where we just need our bell rung. This is too important. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play this video. When this video finishes, the lights are going to stay down, and it's just going to stay quiet. It's going to be awkwardly quiet. No music, no me talking. And I just want you to sit for 30, 40 seconds. I want you to listen to what God is telling you today. What is he saying to you today? What is your legacy going to be? And then what I want you to do is during that time or during the song that follows, I just want you to simply write down a statement or two about what your legacy is going to be. So let's watch this video and then write down the legacy from what God is telling us. Watch this video.
Man, I feel like I am dying or I'm going to die or whatever. And if this video does come true, this was amazing that he had me record this. Wow. It's been a great life. My family means so much to me. You guys are a close second to God, but you mean a whole lot to me. And I want you all to know that I'm in a really good place right now. Alright. I'm signing off. Well, I didn't think I was going to cry when I made this video, but I guess I did. I love you. I want to end by saying I love you. Goodbye.
Father God, we just humbly come before you right now. God, you are the author of life. God, you give and take away. But God, we know from page one to the last page of the Bible how much you love us, how much you care for us. And God, we know that we can have faith, faith in you, faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life just for us to take away the sins, God, that we, the punishment of the sins that we were due. And God, we can have hope. Hope because he was resurrected, because he lived again. Hope for tomorrow with you forever in heaven. God, we know that you are love. And God, I pray that in our lives, each and every one of us will look and live each day as it is our last opportunity to make the biggest impact on this planet as we possibly can. And the greatest way we can do that is by simply loving. Primary things: faith, hope, and love. That's a legacy that will remain. God, we pray that your love will be magnified through us. And that, God, we will leave a legacy that lives on for eternity. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus.